I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of... Welcome, welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to meeting you here every single day to hopefully bring you conversations that inspire you in your faith walk, deepen your understanding of God's Word, and heighten your awareness of His very tangible presence in your life. We've got a great program planned for you today. And if you know me at all, you know that I love great worship music. So every once in a while, we'll cover artists on the program. Some of them you know, and some of them you won't. But the purpose is to pause from your busy day, enjoy some time reflecting on God's greatness through the gift of music, of worship. So I'm really honored to welcome London Getch to the program. We'll play some of the music from her new album, New Stories. We'll have some copies of that album to give away as well. A quick announcement. If you're brand new to the Faith Radio listening family, we would love to get a new listener packet into your hands. It's free, just full of great information on our programming, our heart behind the programming. You can just ask for it. We won't send it automatically. We won't want to flood your mailbox or your inbox with anything that you don't want, but this is a great packet. Go to our website if you'd like, myfaithradio.com. And while you're there, check out some of our blog posts. We've got some good ones there as well. It'll encourage you in your faith journey. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. London Getch is a wife, mother, singer, songwriter, and a worship leader. She's a beach girl, an animal lover, and she says she always saves room for dessert. London, so nice to meet you. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much.
Good to have you. So we love to start every day, London, talking scripture. And I'm wondering if you either have a life verse or just one you've been pondering and reflecting these days you can share with us.
Yes, I'd be happy to. So over the last week or so, I have been just rereading over and over again from 1 John 4, specifically the verse 16, where it says, "We know how much God loves us, and we've put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them." And then it goes on the first half of 17 to say, "And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect." And that's that's just been something that I haven't been able to read enough. I've been reading it over and over again.
Say more about just what that means to you, like on a practical level.
Yeah, well, I think I just, honestly, it ties in with one of the songs from the new album, but I think I've just been, we just released the album, and as I've been reflecting on each song and the inspiration behind it, I was reading through this chapter, and that part about, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, it really jumped out at me almost in a new way. Just thinking through, I mean, we always know that God is perfect love. His love is perfect love. He is love. But the fact that His word tells us that the more we press into Him, the more we practice that love and live in that love, that He'll actually grow our love more perfect. And so as, a fairly new mom, I have a 20-month daughter, 20-month-old daughter, and I have a second baby on the way. So if I sound out of breath, it's because I'm almost 8 months pregnant.
Oh, wow.
just sitting down, I'm out of breath. And so just as my role as a mother, and then, of course, as a wife and a daughter and all the different hats that I wear, it's just really encouraging to me that as I press into the Lord, that He's going to grow my love more perfect. So that the love that I can express to my children and my husband and my family and friends, that can grow more perfect too. So
beautiful.
I feel like, there's a lot of things in my life that I want to get better at, but that's probably going to be number one on the list right now.
Beautiful. Kind of reminds me of that other passage. It says, those of us who set our hope in Him purify ourselves. It's, we try so hard to do the bootstrap thing. It seems like we have a grace aversion, like we just go towards effort all the time.
Yes.
And the enemy loves it because he can beat us up on our effort or puff us up on our effort. But when
exactly.
we put our hope in Him, it purifies our hearts because we just know afresh it can't be about me. It never is about me. And, I would love just a little more on your backstory, your faith journey and just your journey into music and worship. Give us a little bit of context for your story.
Yeah. So I grew up, I am a Jewish believer. I'm a Messianic Jew. And so and a lot of people don't know that about me. I'm very open about it on social media. But I think because I'm a worship leader and primarily lead worship in churches, and, you know, our music is categorized Christian and gospel, that that's kind of like, oh, wow, brand new information for a lot of people. And so I grew up in a family. We actually were the leaders of a Messianic congregation in our hometown in Charleston, South Carolina. And so I've always been in ministry. Both my parents were worship leaders and leaders in our congregation. And then I also started to lead worship as a teenager at Seacoast Church, which is the church we're currently at now, or I guess, back at now in Charleston, South Carolina. And so just between our synagogue and between church, I started to develop just a passion for leading worship as a teenager. And so, it kind of felt like second nature because, like I said, my family was in ministry. So it was something that I was always doing and always passionate about, but I didn't necessarily see that as a career path. Or like as a, you know, specific, like this is your calling as your job. I know we're all called to be worshipers. So I knew that I wanted to use my gifts to serve the Lord in that capacity. But my husband, he was actually my boyfriend at the time. We were pursuing secular music as, let's say, like late teens, early 20s. And it wasn't until we got married in our early 20s that I felt like I heard the Lord's voice so clearly tell me that leading worship as a specific career path, as you're calling your main thing, I want you to focus on. That's what I have for you. It's not a plan B. It's not a hobby. It's not something that you do on the side. And so, so for me, it was kind of like one of those moments where I was sure that's what the Lord had impressed upon me. And so I quit everything I was doing, all the bands that I was a part of, all of the other music projects. We just put them all on the back burner and just started to press into the Lord and say, okay, we're here and we're ready for whatever you have for us. And we were serving at our church here in Charleston, Seacoast, when the pastor of Elevation Church happened to come in and be a guest preacher. And Elevation was very small. This was back in 2009. They had just been a church for just a couple of years at this point. And I guess once I led worship, they wanted to interview me for a job. And so they got the blessing from our pastor here in Charleston. He gave the blessing and kind of the rest is history. We ended up moving up to Charlotte to be a part of Elevation Church. And we did that for 8 years. And it was a crazy, amazing experience. When we started with the church, there were about 2,000 or 3,000 people. And by the time we left, it had grown to 40,000 people.
Oh my goodness.
So it was a very, very big boom in 8 years. So just a lot of really, fun, intense, stressful, exciting experiences, as you can imagine, and almost a decade of serving there. And then we wanted to start a family. We got pregnant with our first little girl and felt like the Lord said, okay, it's time to start your family, but I'm calling you back home to Charleston and to Seacoast Church. And so we said, Lord, you're the one who brought us here in the first place. So if it's time for us to step away, we trust you. And we did. So it's been a wild few years,
wow.
To say the least.
Well, you know, when how long did that process take? You know, here you're settled in to a pretty established church for 8 years. How did the winds of change start to blow? How did you know, okay, oh, God's up to something? I'm always so interested in those winds of change before you really know what hit you. Do you know what I'm saying? Tell me about that.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah. So we resigned and stepped away from Elevation in March of 2017, just a few months before we had our first baby. And it was probably, I would say, the beginning of 2016 that I started to feel like the Lord was saying, you know, I'm preparing you for something. I'm doing something new in your heart and in your life, and I'm preparing you for what's next. And my husband and I, we were having a lot of conversations about, I think we're ready to start a family. And so I just assumed, well, yeah, we're going to start a family. So definitely, like, I would love to be prepared for that. Mm-hmm. Prepare me. Mm-hmm. After probably 6 or 7 months of really just thinking that was it, I felt like the Lord started to get more and more specific through, just all the different ways that he speaks to us individually through sermons and through just the different ways that I feel like he kind of like downloads his voice into my head, speaks to me through dreams, through conversations with people I trust. It started to become very apparent to me in the fall of 2016 that I think the Lord is saying that we're, you know, stepping away from this ministry. And honestly, we were not prepared for that. I mean, I was already pregnant. We had the house, we had the nursery we were setting up. We had everything, like all of our ducks in a row.
Well, I was thinking about all your ducks in a row, I think it was Spurgeon who said, no work of God is ever convenient. And I'm telling you, it's just true. Man makes the plan, but the Lord determines the steps.
Right, right, exactly. I'm so sorry about that. For some reason, I thought this same number was calling you back as if I had lost you. Okay, so sorry. Back to that, what I was saying. So we really had all of our ducks in a row to start a family. And it's so funny how when you think that you can make all of the plans, but then God has a different plan in mind. And so when I started to realize, oh, I think that we're actually really making a big shift. That was honestly just a few months before we stepped away. And we were pretty terrified. I mean, it was our community. It was, you know, being a part of a ministry like that for so long, it can really become part of your identity. And so, we had to honestly get to a place with the Lord where we said, we're nervous, we're scared. We really need to know this is from you. Please, Lord, continue to speak to us. And over the next couple of months, he did. And it was one of those crazy moments where my husband and I were both in the car, and we were driving to the office, actually. And we both looked at each other and we said, like, it was almost like, did you hear that? We both looked at each other and we said, today's the day. Did you hear that? And he's like, yeah, today's the day. We're supposed to resign right now. And so we did. We drove right in and we just graciously said, we can help transition in any way you need for as long as you need, but we do feel like the Lord is telling us to take a step back from ministry here at Elevation and really focus on bringing our first child into the world and then just whatever is next. We had no jobs lined up. We had nothing. We just really didn't have anything except the word of the Lord and each other. It was really, really crazy to say the least.
I appreciate you telling that story, London, because I just had a sense somebody's listening today who's walking in a transition and they're hanging on for dear life going, this makes no sense. Well, when you're pregnant and you have a child, or you're pregnant with your child and you feel settled into an established ministry, it never does make sense when God says, okay, go to the place I tell you, even though I haven't told you yet. But that is what he does. We need to pause here for a break. When we come back, we'll hear some songs off of London's new album. The first song we'll hear about is Jesus Only You. So, London, I want to hear the backstory when we come back on that song, and then we'll listen. Plus, we've got some copies of London's album to give away. We'll do it this way. Email middays@myfaithradio.com. Put London Gatch in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address, and a handful of you get a copy of this beautiful worship album. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. That beautiful voice you're listening to is London Gat. She's my guest today. We're celebrating the release of her new album, News Stories. And if you just tuned in, we were getting some backstory on London's faith journey, trusting God, taking a step out to an unknown land. And she was used to be on the worship team at Elevation Church. Many of us love Elevation's music. And now she serves at church from her old hometown, Seacoast Church. Tell us about this first song. Any backstory you want to give us on the song, Jesus Only You?
Yes, thank you so much. So Jesus Only You was written just a few months after we had our first child and we moved back home to Charleston. And honestly, it was written really just as a cry straight from my heart for emotional and spiritual healing from the Lord. We weren't even with a record label or anything yet. We didn't have any sort of album planned that we were writing for. It was honestly just, I really felt like the Lord put a song in my heart that I needed to express to Him and that I needed to sing out loud. I woke up one morning and the words, "Only You can make it right again. Only You can make me whole again." I just kept saying them over and over again. So I grabbed my phone really fast, jotted the words down. I was barely even awake at this point. And just all day, just couldn't shake the feeling that I need to express these words in worship to the Lord. And so, not soon after, a couple of my friends and I got together and wrote the song, Jesus Only You. And the chorus comes out of Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. Verse 2, you've taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. So basically the song is, you know, the chorus is just a declaration of you are higher than the heavens. There is healing in your presence. You're the one that I run to, Jesus, only you. So it's basically acknowledging that, God, your glory, your power, your majesty is higher than the heavens. It's the biggest thing, you know, in the universe. Mm. Yet I can find healing. I can find comfort in your presence, God. You can be small enough and close enough to me to know my every need, to see every piece of my heart that needs healing. You're the one that I run to, Jesus, only you. So honestly, it's kind of this like beautiful juxtaposition of like the greatness of God, but He's also close enough to mend anything that's been broken in our lives. And so that was kind of like my cry at the time was, only You can make it right again. Only you can restore this brokenness that I'm feeling inside. Because, you know, as I said, our transition was really, really intense. It was leaving a community, leaving a city that we had lived in for almost a decade, becoming parents, the whole move, the leaving jobs, not knowing what was next. It was all just, it was really scary. And, you know, sometimes when the Lord asks you to step away from something, He doesn't necessarily give the memo to everybody that's involved. Yeah. So, you know, some people were not happy about our transition. We had some amazing friends who were very supportive. And then there were others who, you know, just didn't understand. And so for us, it was very, 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 very emotional, not to mention, you know, having a child, bringing a child into the world for the first time. Even hormonally speaking, I had some raging hormones, as you can imagine.
Well, let's play the song. We're going to jump in because I want to make sure we don't miss it. We got a hard break coming up. So let's listen to this song from London Gatch, Jesus Only You.
Only You
with London Getch. I'm Susie Larson. More with London in just a moment. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. That beautiful voice is London Getch. She's my guest today. We're celebrating the release of her new album, News Stories. If you're in the mood for some new worship music, we've got a few copies to give away. You can enter the drawing this way, middays@myfaithradio.com. middays@myfaithradio.com. Before we hear the title song, News Stories London, you mentioned before the break as you're setting up that song, Jesus Only You, about just healing in your heart, healing your heart needed. Would you mind telling us a bit more about what that's about? What because all of us need healing and wholeness to some degree. What was going on for you?
Yes, wow. So I think at the time, my husband and I, like I said, we were just experiencing such a difficult transition of leaving one church community and rejoining another one, but, you know, with almost an eight, 9 year gap in between. And so it's really hard. It's really hard to have a picture of what your life is going to look like. You know, we thought we would have children, raise them with our friends, our community at Elevation Church in Charlotte. And then once, you know, the Lord sort of told us otherwise, it was almost like we had to mourn what we thought our life was going to look like. And I'm sure that, you know, most people can relate to that in some way. What you thought your life was going to be, it's not turning out to be what you expected. And so as we were transitioning away, it was really hard for us because not everyone was supportive of that. And it was just a hard transition in general. And becoming parents is such a huge, wonderful gift and responsibility, but your whole life is different. We were full-time ministry in Charlotte, and so we worked, you know, if anyone is in ministry, that you know, you work about a million hours a week, and it's hard to find time to come up for air. And so for the first time, we were able to just create some space to take a deep breath and say, okay, Lord, you've called us away from this. You're calling us into something new. We're putting our total trust and faith in you because we have no idea what's next for us. So, Lord, speak to us. Give us some clarity, some fresh vision. And so for me, that was just, you know, very intense and very difficult in a lot of ways. So I felt like I needed to express, you know, this desire for healing to the Lord out loud in worship to him. And also, you know, my husband and I, we feel called to write songs for the church, whether it's our local church or whether, you know, people around the world might worship to the songs. Whatever capacity it is, we feel that is one of the things that the Lord's called us to do. And so I felt like, you know, I'm struggling with this right now, needing healing, emotional healing from anxiety, healing from fear and doubt. And just questioning. And so I think there could potentially be some people out there who also need healing for this as well. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a beautiful opportunity to express that to the Lord through Jesus Only You. And then that's actually how the song New Stories came about. A few months into this transition, we had already moved back to Charleston, South Carolina. We were around family again, getting plugged back into our community at Seacoast, and just praying that God would just do something radical in our lives. We wanted to hear from him in just a fresh, exciting way. And I'll never forget, we were in the living room of a dear friend of ours, actually one of our worship pastors. He and his wife were in their living room, and there was a few of us there from the church, and we were all going around the circle just sharing and believing that the Lord could do something fresh and exciting in our lives. And I'll never forget, my husband said, I'm tired of living off of the old stories of what I've seen God do in my life. I want fresh stories. I want new stories, new stories of his power. I want to witness miracles, new stories of his love and his peace and his freedom. because, you know, as a family, we were going through so much. And so we believe that God is truly the one who is capable of doing immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. And so I think in that moment, my husband was kind of like crying out to God and also crying out to our friends around us, saying, like, Lord, give us new stories of your power, new stories of your healing and your presence. And so honestly, that is how the song New Stories came about. And we were actually almost done writing the album at this point. But the minute we started to pray and worship in that living room of our friend, we just felt like God was saying, yes, I'm going to allow you to see that. I'm going to do something new in your life. And so we all just started to worship and sing this song. It was coming out very organically. And then over the next few days, a couple of us took the song and actually finished it so that we could then turn around and record it for our album. So the song is super, super special to us, especially how it came about.
And I'm thinking about your story, London, and friend, you listening today may need to hear this. You know, maybe you feel like you long for new stories. Maybe you've been relying on past laurels, past stories. But as you notice in London and her husband, they took a risk. And I think to encounter and engage with God in a fresh new way, to have a new story to tell, you need to dare to follow him to unknown places at times. And that risk might be big, it might be small, but faith does involve risk. Let's listen in to New Stories with London Gatch. God wants to write a new story with you. Maybe you need to take the risk he's put before you. I'm talking to London Getch today. More great music from her in just a moment. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So far, every song I've heard from London has given me holy goosebumps. I'm really glad you tuned in today. Talking to London Getch, and she's released a new album titled New Stories. I've got a few copies. Love to get into your hands. And you know how a new worship music just puts a fresh perspective in your heart. And these songs are just songs of declaration of the faithfulness, the goodness, the sturdiness of our God. And who doesn't need a soul reminder now and again? Email if you want in on the drawings, middays@myfaithradio.com. Just because we give books and albums and different things away every single day, help us know which one you're asking for. Put London Getch or News Stories in the subject line, and don't forget your mailing address. We're talking, you know, your backstory a bit, London. We're here, you're serving on a worship team of a huge 40,000-person church, established church. You're pregnant. You're established in that community. Had visions of what community would look like as you bring this child into the world. And in the middle of pregnancy, of being even settled, the Lord pulls up the tent stakes and says, you know, I'm going to take you to another land, another place, and he brings you back to your hometown. You know, it's just so typical of the enemy at some point along the way to get in your ear and say, did God really say? I mean, did you ever deal with that from one point to the next before you got home?
Oh, my goodness. It was just honestly like a constant battle for us. We one day we would feel like we had it all together, like we just felt, you know, such a peace and a joy and a freedom from the Lord. And we were sure. We were sure of his voice. We were sure that he was so close to us and so faithful every single step of the way. Just the way he took care of us, even provided financially, just every single detail. But of course, the enemy loves to creep in and make you doubt those things. And so whether it was, you know, maybe a relationship that we thought would have lasted this or weathered the storm through this transition, didn't, or whatever it was, a little piece of the puzzle here or there, the enemy just would love to just make us doubt that, are you sure this is from the Lord? Are you sure you're not just, you know, sick of
doing your own thing?
Right, exactly. Doing your own thing or honestly just like giving up. I think that was something that we struggled with too. Like, are we giving up? Are we abandoning? Or are we walking away from something that we're not supposed to? And I think it just, time and time again, we had to just go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I know you spoke this to us. We feel your presence very close. So just continue to remind us through your word and through your voice that this is of you.
Yes.
So, yes,
I appreciate you saying that.
Very scary. Yeah.
Everybody walks through that when they're taking a faith risk. And that's where, you know, you remember in the darkness what he told you in the light. And well, how about this song, You Never Walk Away? Tell me about that song.
Yes. So there are actually two songs specifically on this record that were written as prayers and cries for healing and victory over anxiety. And You Never Walk Away is one of them. For probably at least 6 or 7 years that I was serving in Charlotte, I struggled with some very intense anxiety. And I just was not somebody who had ever struggled with it before. I lost my father to cancer when I was 20 years old, and just watching all of the treatment and all of the crazy stuff that my dad had to go through to battle cancer. He had cancer for 13 years. Mm. So as you can imagine, a very emotionally hard and stressful and draining for our family, watching him suffer through this. And even then, I didn't struggle with a physical manifestation of anxiety. It wasn't until my time in Charlotte that I felt like the enemy just pulled out all of those guns and just attacked me full force with panic attacks and anxiety and just stuff that I had never experienced before. And so it took a lot of years of struggling with that and just trying to press into the Lord. But if anyone out there is struggling with anxiety, they know that, unfortunately, it's a great tactic from the devil, for the devil to use, because the more anxious you feel and the more full of fear and panic that you feel, the more you tend to focus on yourself. And so in those times of leading worship where I'm supposed to be focusing on leading people into God's presence and pressing into the Lord in that moment, I'm having an anxiety attack and I'm focusing on myself. And I know, God, this is not of you. You have given me peace and you have given me joy, and you know, your presence should be calming. So I know that this is not from you. So yes, as we were writing this album, I was writing with a few friends, and my husband, my little girl, they were all there and they were present. And we said, God, we want to dedicate this time to you as a victory cry over anxiety, because I know I'm not the only one that struggled with it in the past. I know there's other people out there who just need a song of victory over anxiety. And so, in just a personal time with the Lord, I was reading in Isaiah 54, and it just jumped out at me where it says, "For even if the mountains walk away and the hills fall to pieces, my love won't walk away from you. My covenant commitment of peace won't fall apart." And I just immediately, this resonated with me for the struggle and the battle with anxiety, because the Lord is saying, for even if the mountains walk away, the hills fall to pieces, if it feels like your life around you is crumbling, my love won't walk away from you. My commitment of peace won't fall apart. So he's basically saying in this beautiful way, I will always be beside you, here to provide you with love and with peace. Just call on me and receive healing. And so, so that's how that song came about.
There are so many people I know, high-level leaders in the last 10 years, who've been knocked over by panic attacks and anxiety. It's just been one of those things the enemy has unleashed across the board. But and of course it's from the enemy, but I got to say, as someone who's battled some chronic health issues, the stuff that's made me dependent on God, the enemy meant it for evil, but that deeper dependence, even while you're up leading worship in a place of utter total dependence, it may feel like a total, it canceled itself out. It doesn't, because when you're in that deep, deep place of dependence, I feel like the fragrance of God comes forth even more. And I just believe, what the enemy is meant for evil, God turns for good. Let's listen into You Never Walk Away. Maybe you needed to hear this song today.
Your love will never walk away from me. You're close, closer than the air I breathe.
was You Never Walk Away by London Gatch. Her new album is New Stories. And you know, London, there's something about someone who's had to battle for hard-fought wisdom. You know, the difference is when you're imparting something from your gut versus you're relaying something you read on the internet. I'm just saying, because you can read really good quotes and then pass them along to people. But when you've had to go to a deep place with God, like I feel what you have fought for as you declare your love is never walking away from me. And I hate that you've had to battle what you've had to battle, but it oozes from you, the fight in you. And I just honor the gift of God in you in that regard.
Oh, thank you so much. That means so much.
Yeah. Well, as we get ready to wrap, I'm wondering if you'd pray for that person who right now is in the flame of anxiety, of fear, feeling like they're all alone in the battle. Would you, as we get ready to wrap here, would you pray for that person?
Oh, it would be an honor, yes. Oh, Father God, right now I pray that anyone listening right now, Father, if they're struggling with anxiety, if they're struggling with panic attacks, if they're struggling with fear and doubt, God, we just right now, we acknowledge that that is a lie from the enemy. Father, your spirit and your truth fills us up with peace. You, God, you give us rest. Father, you are the Prince of Peace. And right now I pray, Father, that your peace would come upon any person listening right now that needs to be just filled with your truth and filled with your word, God. We stand on the promise that your love will never walk away from us, no matter what it feels like in our lives. It may feel like our life is falling apart, God, but we know that you are a God who loves us, that you are close to us, that you will heal us, Father. And so we claim that healing right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
London, thank you for joining us today, and I sure wish you God's best as you continue to step into all that he has for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great time. London Gatch, friends, and her new album, New Stories. Would love to get a copy of this album in your hand. You can enter the drawing this way. Email middays@myfaithradio.com. That's middays@myfaithradio.com. Put either London Gatch or New Stories in the subject line. Don't forget that mailing address. We'll grab a handful of names and get the album out into the mail as soon as we are able. Pray you found some encouragement here today. You don't walk alone. God is with you, and it is impossible for him to fail you. Continue to do what he says. Walk intimately. Trust him. He's a good God. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Suzy Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Suzy Larson.